Folks, we have read here this morning these opening verses from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And this man that stands before us today in Holy Writ, this individual called Daniel, he's just a beacon to us all. Daniel is known as a man of prayer. In fact, the children sing about him. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. And he's a wonderful character. You know, Daniel was a young man in his teens when he was taken captive. Wasn't too old. Taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar during that siege in Jerusalem. And while in captivity, without the slightest compromise, he faithfully served under the administration of 3 kings. It was Nebuchadnezzar who was a brutal monarch. It was he that took him in the first place and took others with him. His 3 friends, as we know them, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as others. They were taken from their homeland and they were taken by Nebuchadnezzar's army. And they were taken captive with the desire of Nebuchadnezzar that he would doctrinate them. That he might change them in order that he might use them for his own ends. It was not only Nebuchadnezzar, but then there was Belshazzar, and then came Darius, who took over the throne at this particular point whereby we're reading in Acts, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And it is under the reign of Darius I would like to just consider some things this morning and look into the life of this particular man, to see of anything that you and I could benefit from. I suppose there are 4 areas that we could look at this morning, and maybe 4 more. We want to kind of look at the dilemma that Daniel found himself in. We wanted to look at the decision that Daniel had to make. We want to look at the den that Daniel had to go to. And of course, there is the deliverance that Daniel experienced. But as a young teenage lad, we read about him back there at the beginning of the book as he was taken captivity. And we can see also another point in his life, and that is the determination that he had to walk with God. That though he was taken from his friends and from his family and from his neighborhood and taken under captivity into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, no one could ever imagine what he went through. I don't read much about his parents here, or whether or not he had family members or anything like that as such. But I can never imagine what it must have been like for a young teenage lad to go through what he was going through, but yet, through it all, he knew God's grace to help in every step of the way. On the way back then, even as a teenage lad, if you want to turn back to it here, book of Daniel chapter 2, there's a statement made here, and it's very, very important. It is the time when he was taken captive. And we can see in verse 5, just cutting in here, of chapter 1. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah Abednego. But here's the verse. But Daniel, a young man, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to tell you something. Listen, even as a young boy, in the midst of all that he was now in, and all that he was experiencing, and all that he was facing, listen, there was still that determination, I'm going to walk with God. And I want to say a wee word this morning to the young people. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. But it's a more wonderful thing to walk with God. And to talk with God. And to live your life as a witness for God. And I want to tell you that here's a young man in his early teens, and he's coming now near his 20s or whatever age he was around that age group. And he's a young man, and he's sold out for God, that no matter where he is, he has a determination and a desire within his heart that he's going to live close to his God. And maybe there's young people down here and you're in university. And sometimes, as the old saying is, when you get away from home, well, things can become different. But I want to warn you about something, though. Maybe your mom and dad can't see what you're doing. There's one in the glory who can see everything. You see, Daniel never lived his life to please the people. He lived his life just to please the Lord. For you could never please people anyway if you tried to stand in your head. But he had a determination. I'm going to walk with God. And he did walk with God. And he knew what it was to talk with God, even as a young man. It wasn't something he got more prone to do in his latter years of life. Take a look at another portion. Take a look there for a minute at chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream here. The problem was he had forgot about what it was. And therefore he couldn't get the interpretation. And he got a bit angry about this. And he gave the command that all the wise men would be killed. And part and partial of these wise men were, of course, Daniel and his friends. So Arioch was sent out, the captain of the king's guard, was sent out to slay all the wise men, verse 15. And he came to Daniel. And Daniel answered, and he says to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, godly companions. Young folk, it's a good thing to keep godly companions. And he's talking to them now, boys, we are in a dilemma here. What is it? Well, Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream and he doesn't know what it is and nobody can help him and he's going to kill us all. And he's home here, and he's speaking to these boys. And Daniel went into his house, and he made this known to these boys. And he asked them to do something. He says, we need to pray that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. And verse 19 says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Isn't that lovely? I want to tell you something, even at times when his back's against the wall, when there's nowhere else to go, there's nobody out there can help him, you know. His back's against the wall, they're facing sudden death. But he's went in, he's been bold enough to go before the king Nebuchadnezzar, who would have just removed your head in a flash. And he says to him, would you give him a time? And we'll seek the face of my God. And he went home to the house and he brought it to the boys, and they got down together to pray. And they says, listen boys, we need to pray that the Lord would give us a revelation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And glory to God, God revealed it in the night vision. And he was able to go back to Nebuchadnezzar and to relate to Nebuchadnezzar exactly what the dream meant. I want you to see his humbleness, his humility, when he went back in again and he interpreted this. Take a look at verse 30 of chapter 2. Yeah. He says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Isn't that lovely? See the humility of the man? He wasn't going into Nebuchadnezzar thinking that he was some great person. He says, I'm just like everybody else. The humility of the man. The humbleness of the servant. It's absolutely lovely, you know. So, he not only lived under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, but also Belshazzar. And we can see there, as he lived under his monarchy, he was a fearless servant. When it came to confronting him with his sin, but then we get to chapter 6, and that's where we want to be this morning, and he's under another monarch here. The man that he's under is Darius. He's not a young lad anymore. He's in his 80s. And Darius has taken over. Belshazzar has gone in the previous chapter. And Darius is now setting up a new government to look after his kingdom. And in the opening verse, we can see what he's doing here. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, or first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now I just want you to see it here. I want you to see this choosing out of Darius. I want you to see the desire that he has of wanting to put a government in place of 120 princes and these three presidents, of whom Daniel was one of the three. And he's a man now in his 80s, and I'm going to tell you something. Listen, there's something that Darius sees in his lifestyle that draws him to his attention. I just want to stop here and say something. He's not a preacher. He's not an evangelist. He's not a man standing in the open air. He's just a man who's walking with God. Separated unto God. Taking his stand for God and has done so all his life. And here he is here, and he's been brought into the government here as well. And it's a fascinating thing when you think of a young teenage lad taken captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. And he knew Nebuchadnezzar personally. He dealt with him personally, as we can see there in chapter 2 and other portions. He knew Belshazzar personally because it was him that spoke to Belshazzar prior to his death. And now we have Darius, and he knows Darius, the one who sits upon the throne, personally as well. Here's this boy, and the hand of the Lord has been upon him. They that honor me, God said, I will honor. And as Darius seeks to set up his government over the kingdom, he chooses out these 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these he picks out three presidents, of whom Daniel was one of them, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Now what is it that made him choose Daniel? It says in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. There's something he's seen in the life and character lived out in this individual's life that drew him to his attention. He said to me, what is it? Every newborn babe in Christ, listen, possess the Holy Spirit. You'll not exist without him. But you cannot see the Holy Spirit within me, nor I can see the Holy Spirit within you. But the Bible says that you will know them by their fruits. Or by their fruit. Now, as I have read this passage and consider it, I've got to ask the question, what is it that Darius observed in this character, in this life lived so wonderfully before the world at this particular time? How is it that he could say, because an excellent spirit was in him, the king thought to set him over the whole realm? It was this, he had the priority in Darius's eyes. Confidence. Well, turn with me for a moment to Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, we have the fruit of the Spirit mentioned here. And I think it's lovely because is it some of these things that he's seen in the character and mannerism in the life of Daniel that set him apart from everyone else? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love. He had a love toward his fellow man. He sought to get on as best he could with everybody. And joy. Was there a joy in this boy's life every day that others couldn't understand? And a peace. That peace of God that ruled in his heart that passeth all understanding must have been amazing. You see, I believe it was that peace of God that brought him through all those years. And long-suffering, he certainly was that. And gentleness, he was a gentleman. Gentle demeanor. Goodness and faith. And meekness. And temperance. And these are the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Which had never been written when Daniel lived. But I just wonder, was these the fruit of the Spirit that was shown forth in the man's life as he lived before humanity day by day. Is it the reason why Darius said that there was an excellent spirit within him? Simply because he was different. He was different than the rest. Folks, are you and I different from the rest in this day in which we're living? And I often hear people saying that they're wicked and evil days, and I know they are, but listen, the Bible says as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We haven't seen nothing yet. But in the midst of all the wickedness and depravity and sin of humanity, listen, there was a man who walked with God. And if there's ever a day that we need people to walk with God, it's today. Just live your life close to God. Keep your eyes upon Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not under your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and allow Him to direct your path. It just wasn't words to Daniel. It just wasn't a portion of Scripture. It was a reality, it was a fact within the life of this individual, a man who walked and talked with God. Is it any wonder the Bible tells us that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of this excellent spirit that was in him? And therefore he thought to set him over the whole kingdom. The dedication, the determination of this man of God. Folks, he's here for our administration. He's here for our learning. Dare to be a Daniel. And dare to stand alone. Well, we can see it brought a dilemma into his life. My time's gone. See verse 4. Brought a problem. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Chapter 6, verse 4. But they could find no occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They couldn't find fault in him, but what they did find was a faithful servant of God. Not lovely? And here's a man, and he's been put in a position, and it's brought about a dilemma because of the favoritism of Darius and setting him over the whole kingdom. And it brought jealousy and hatred and anger and wickedness into the hearts of these other two boys that he was associated with as presidents, which filtered down into the princes and so on. And there was real hostility here. They didn't like to think that this boy who had been a captive boy was now placed ahead of them. There was jealousy and hatred and anger. So what they decided to do was simply this. They decided to seek out and find fault with him. And they were watching him as he carried out his everyday duty according to the kingdom. Because the verse says here in verse 4, then these presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I want to tell you something. As these boys looked on, 120 plus of them, as they watched him carrying out his everyday activity, his everyday duty in the line of government and in the line on behalf of the people, as they watched him, as they scrutinized him, as they observed him in order to find fault with him, they could find nothing. Folks, if the world were to look at us from now to next Lord's Day, I wonder what they would say about us. And this was him just carrying out his daily duties every day in life, making sure what he done, whatsoever his hand found it to do, he done it with all his might. And as the words of Colossians say, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. But as they watched him, they could find no fault in him, in his everyday dealings with his employer and those who worked with him. But we'll see what they did see. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You see, that was his motivation. His motivation was to please the Lord and to live according to that book. You ever think of the truth of Psalm number 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now listen to this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You could just take those three verses and just set them in the life of Daniel. For that's exactly what he was doing. And the Word of God and the God of the Word was his motivation behind everything that he did. And as he was carrying out his everyday activity between his responsibilities in the workplace, listen, as the world looked on, they could find no fault in him. And therefore they changed their ploy. They said, listen, we're not going to find any occasion or fault against him, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So then they attacked his spiritual life. Take a look at it. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now I want you to see this. All the presidents of the kingdom is a lie. I want you to see the deception of their hearts. I want you to see what they're about to say. Now they're before the king. The presidents and the princes have assembled together and they're speaking to Darius. And this is what they're saying. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing. Therefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. I want to tell you something. They're attacking his Christian life now. They're attacking his walk with God. And they realize that this is the only grounds whereby they're going to get rid of him. Why did they attack it? Why did they attack it in this fashion? Why did they go to Darius making out that he was in with it? Listen, if Darius would have thought that he would have been in with it, I don't think he would ever have signed it. Because Darius held him to such high regard. But when these boys came and they met all these boys who had come to meet with Darius, they were making out that Daniel was part of this decree which they were asking to be signed. But behind it all, what they were simply doing was this. They were simply asking Darius to sign the death warrant of Daniel. That's exactly what they were doing. You know why? What did they see in his life? I want to tell you something. They've seen a man of God. They've seen a man, though they'd watched him and scrutinized him day in and day out, though they'd watched his every activity and could find no fault nor error in him. I'll tell you what they did discover. They discovered that he went to his house 3 times a day and he shut the door and he opened the windows of heaven and his home and he got on his knees and he prayed to God. And here's a man, could we say he's like the prime minister of the land. He's a busy man. He has so much to do. He has so many activities to look after. But I want to tell you this. He still took time to meet with God because he recognized with the position that he held, without the Lord he could do nothing. It is in him we live and we move and we have our being. And you can see him every day and he makes a point of going home, shutting the door and getting that window open towards Jerusalem, which was an act of faith. And he cried unto his God on a daily basis. I often wonder how he prayed. But they've seen him as a man of prayer. And therefore they changed their ploy. And the Bible says they went to Darius and they requested to Darius that if anyone be found praying to any god or man for 30 days, 1 month, except to you, Darius, that be taken that very moment and put into the den of lions. And it sounded good to Darius's ear and his ego. And he took the pen and he put pen to paper and he signed it according to the law of the Medes and Persians that could not be altered. And immediately when he handed the signed degree, agreement into their hand, listen, they knew that they had got their way. Humanly speaking. And the first thing they did, they made sure to get these letters out around the country and let everybody know. And I have no doubts the first person the letter was given to was Daniel. You can see him lifting it that morning as it dropped through the letterbox. You can see him beginning to read down the letter. You are not permitted to pray for 30 days to any god or man except to Darius. And the consequences are, dear friend, Daniel, the consequences, if you're found doing so, it'll be sudden death with the den of lions. He's brought to a decision. One asks the question, what would I have done? What would you have done? You know, the first question I'd need to ask myself to begin with. Do I be in prayer like Daniel was? Is prayer as important to me today as it was in the day of Daniel? As people looked on at my life, can they see a man who spends time alone with God, whether it's in a wee room in the morning, or whether it's in the cockpit of a lorry in the afternoon, or whatever? Do they recognize an individual who knows what it is to spend time with God? I want to tell you something. Daniel had a decision to make. What was he going to do? Big decision. For it was a matter to him of life and death. Now, don't you ever dare stick out your chest and say, I would have done what Daniel would have done, would you? You don't know what you'd have done under the circumstances. You see, God's grace is only sufficient when? In the time of need. I'm putting it to you now. You mind when they took our Lord and brought him in there to crucify him? Mind around the fire. Mind who sat along with him? Peter. Mind what Peter said to the Lord beforehand? I wouldn't deny you. I'd even die for you. Lord says, Peter, listen. You wouldn't. And the Lord knew his heart. And he denied the Lord with those and curses. What did Daniel do? I'm finished. Let you go. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he had to make a decision. Here's a decision. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees, watch it, 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's his decision. He just carried on as if nothing happened. It wasn't this ladder falling into his hand that made him go to the place of prayer. Listen, this ladder was a means of stopping him, trying to hinder him from going to the place of prayer. Listen, it was a means of getting rid of him. But listen, if there was ever a time that he needed to be around the throne of grace, it was today. And you can see him going in, and I want you to see what verse 10 says here. It says he went in, he could have kept the window shut. But he didn't, he opened the window as usual. And he got onto his knees 3 times that day as usual. And he got down before the God of heaven, listen. And he prayed, but listen to this. And he gave thanks. Poise of poise. I have to sit down and scratch my head over that. I want to tell you something. 20-odd years ago, in the Royal Hospital in Belfast, my wife and I sat with a little 2-week-old infant child on her knee, which was just dying, taken out of an incubator, told to us that there's nothing more could be done for the wee boy. And as we sat with wee Joshua on our lap, and as we watched the breath ebbing out of that wee body until it became lifeless, I want to tell you something, it was difficult. And I'm just going to be very truthful with you this morning. I would have found it very hard to give thanks. And maybe there's folk under this roof this morning, and you're likewise, you've come through experiences in your life, and you know what it has been to be at rock bottom, where the rubber's hitting the road, and you're right down there, and I want to tell you something, you're not giving thanks. But in the midst of it all, Daniel's thanking the Lord even to be persecuted for his name's sake. He gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. I want to tell you, he's determined to go through with God. Folks, is God speaking to your heart this morning, young man, young woman? Men and women in this house, listen, are we walking with God today? Are we enjoying communing with God today? Talking with God today? Is our lives shining for God today? Let us all make it the prayer of our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Let us pray.